During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Now to find the original. Where is the original? Oh. Nope, not there. Too many windows.
FYI, while you're working, almost 3,500 soldiers killed, and they don't really know the contractor's number because they never know it's tracked it, but they think around 700 to 900. So it approaches 5,000.
Yeah. And now it's just us.
Yeah.
5, 4, make sure you're running. Are you in the green, John? Yep. 3, 2. This is 8.5 minutes for tonight. 1. I'm John Batzer, Bill Raggio, a colleague of mine. He's a senior fellow for the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Watching Iraq, and watching it with the help of Bridget Toomey of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, a new government. But the headline, Iraq forms new government with only 14 of 23 ministers chosen so far. Not only that, but the new prime minister, Ali al-Zaidi, is new to politics in general. So while he has 9 open ministries, he is a rookie. Bridget, a very good evening to you. You were very helpful to understand that the election itself was a choice between the Shia, the Sunni, and the Kurds. The Kurds get the presidency. The Sunni get the prime ministership. No, they get the, I don't remember. They get some posting, and the prime minister is always Shia, I think. Help me understand how they do the system and what it means that the ministers are not filled yet.
Hi, John. You're right. The Iraqis divide they're called the three presidencies, the president, the speaker of their parliament, and the prime ministership on the sectarian division. And a Shia, which is the majority of the Iraqis, always gets the prime minister slot, which is the most important, really the decision maker in government. But everything in the Iraqi government from those three spots to the ministers in the cabinet are really agreed to in backroom negotiations, which have been taking place since before their election in November, but really since the November election. So now the government is sworn in, or the prime minister is sworn in. After last week, the parliament passed a vote of confidence in Ali al-Zaidi's, the plan that he presented, which they approved 14 ministers. So that means the remaining nine, there's an acting minister right now. And those are scheduled to be approved or planned to be approved roughly the end of the month, early June. It's unclear if that will actually come to fruition. We can get into this more, but the negotiations to decide on these ministers have been, extremely difficult, both for internal disagreements as well as cross-sectarian Sunni Kurdish Shia disagreements, and then the goals of Tehran and Washington are, diametrically opposed.
Is it significant that they've not chosen a minister of defense? Is that a critical post?
Defense is important. Now, the minister of defense is normally a Sunni, and the other big one that's not chosen is the minister of interior. But a lot of these ministries, of the 9 not selected, some of these are eyed by the Iran-backed militia parties, or the parties affiliated with Iran-backed militias, who the Trump administration has said cannot be in Iraq's next government. These groups are U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organizations, and they really function as a vehicle for Tehran's influence. So one of the reasons that many of these posts are not filled is because the militias don't want to give up their potential post, and they some performed very well in this past election. So if you go based on the division of votes of seats in parliament, they would have ministerial slots. But they also can't take those seats right now because Washington would, what the Trump administration said is it would not work with the government with militia affiliates in the cabinet.
Bill, democracy Iraq style. You have a question for Bridget.
Yes, indeed, as it ever was. Bridget, you mentioned the defense and interior being key ministries. What are the other key ministries and have those positions been filled?
So I would say Iraq has what's called, they call them sovereign ministries. There are five ministries that are really powerful and important. The other three being oil, finance, and foreign affairs. Foreign affairs is Kurdish, Fuad Hussein. He was the previous foreign minister. There was some talk that there would not be returning ministers in this cabinet, but there are, and I think he is, you know, a less controversial choice. On the other hand, oil and finance have both gone to affiliates of what's called the coordination framework. It's the group of Shia parties that's aligned with Iran and is leading this government. The minister of oil in particular, he, you know, has long experience in the oil sector in Iraq. He was a deputy minister, held other important positions, which is, you know, there are goods and bads. On the one hand, Iraq is facing, you know, a really challenging oil environment. They rely on that for their budget, but they can't export. They're going to have to navigate repairs from militia attacks. On the other hand, there are rumors that he's, you know, affiliated with Iran or has a relationship with them. And he's, you know, having served in the Ministry of Oil for a while, for quite a few years in senior positions, the number of scandals or schemes of Iranian exploitation that have broken, you know, it certainly calls into question, what did he know? What may he have been involved in? But, you know, Iraq was always going to have to play this balancing act, particularly in the Ministry of Oil, of who can we select that doesn't anger the U.S. or Iran. The U.S. leveled sanctions against a senior oil official just days before this government came into form. So it was clear that both, you know, a lot of, you know, countries, people are interested in Iraq's oil sector.
Yes, because they have great potential to break away from OPEC. Is there any talk of that, Bridget, in the cabinet to leave OPEC now that UAE has left?
I haven't seen, so this new minister, I haven't seen any comments from him specifically on OPEC. I think they're more focused now on really what is their plan forward post-war.
Right.
And that includes returning production, which is, you know, difficult to do when you've shut in production. They're going to have to repair facilities. They're looking at expanding export options because 94% of their oil goes through the Strait of Hormuz, which they've gotten two ships out. It may be up to three or four since I've last checked, but no more than that since March. And they're normally exporting, you know, multiple a week. So I think from what he said so far, they're looking at how to handle really immediate concerns. They're going to face a budget crunch any day now.
So if OPEC is in the wind, it's in the distant wind. Bill, we have about a minute.
Bridget, you note that the Trump administration won't work with the Iraqi government if it appoints ministers affiliated with the militias. Does this policy actually limit militia power, or is it merely whitewashing the militia influence in both the Iraqi ministries and the government?
So if it's limited to purely no cabinet members from explicitly designated militias, then it won't have a restraining influence. We already have ministers from militias. They're just not from designated ones. And the militias exert influence at, you know, second, third tier levels that is really dangerous. So if this is an approach they take throughout the government, then I think it will start to have an impact, but it would need to be a diligent, ongoing, you know, really dedicated, continuous effort to have an impact.
We thank Bridget Toomey of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, a research fellow, Bill Raggio, senior fellow for the FDD, watching Iraq that once upon a time was the major story of the day, no more. I'm John Batchelor. Thank you, Bridget. Excellent report. Just excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
More than you'll get out of the New York Times today, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bridget, great stuff for keeping us informed on this. It's falling off my radar, so I rely on you to give me the...
Yeah, Bridget's got the Houthis and Iraq. Yeah. Huge stories, yeah. Bill. They're huge stories.
Yeah. Yep.
They are. All right.
Thank you.
Do they recognize the work that you're doing on Iraq at FDD? Are they like, they appreciate it?
Yeah, some do.
Okay.
We do.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to sell them on simmering problems. I've experienced it. So if you run into that, let me know. I'll put in a good word.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Of course.
Well, I'll go out of my way to make it very clear to a certain president and founder of FTD.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate that, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bridget. Bye. Bill, we have David. Is he confirmed?
David just texted. He said he cannot make it today. He could do it tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it helps a little bit because I got space problems today.
Okay. Well, that's good then. That actually solved the problem for you.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'll respond to him.
We've got that was 10:30. We have...
12 o'clock will be next.
12 o'clock is Hardy. 12:30 is...
Edmund.
And I've asked Ahmed to go to 1:15.
1:15 and then Joe at 2:30.
Yeah.
Is what we have scheduled. You still need to do Joe or do you want to cancel?
Oh, yeah, because we're going to do not only the Hamas story, but also the terror story in London.
Got it. Okay, good. All right, just double checking because I heard you say time issues.
Well, I did have time issues till David went.
Okay.
Now everything fits. Thanks, Bill. I'll see you at noon.
Catch you at noon.
Yeah, right. Thanks. And tell David I'll get to him for tomorrow. Oh, you can send to him right now.
I'll text him. I'll let him know we'll work on a time for tomorrow.
11 o'clock tomorrow. How's that for you, Bill?
11 works for me. I'll propose it.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh, sorry.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.